Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. While they were all amazed at his every deed, Jesus said to his disciples, "Pay attention to what I am telling you. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men." But they didn't understand the saying. Its meaning was hidden from them so that they should not understand it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. The Gospel of the Lord. Pay attention to what I am telling you. In the Greek rites of the Catholic Church and also the Orthodox, the deacon, before he proclaims the gospel, shouts out, "Pay attention." Never forget the first time I heard that when I was at a Mass in Rome where they would proclaim the gospel both for the East and the West. And the deacon would shout out, "Stai attenti." Be attentive. We always need to be attentive, and it's difficult sometimes to fight off the routinization that occurs or fatigue. But we could start every gospel this way, where Jesus says, "Pay attention to what I'm telling you." You remember what yesterday's gospel was because you paid attention to what he was telling. It was Jesus' first prediction of his passion. After he had taken his poll of the crowds, "Who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter confessed that he was the Christ. Then Jesus described what type of Messiah he would be. Not the Messiah of their expectations. Would be a civil leader kicking out the Romans. But a suffering Messiah who would particularly save through his death and rising. But they didn't get it. They didn't pay attention. They were too worried about jockeying for positions in his earthly messianic administration. And then, immediately before this scene, there were a couple things in between. Jesus heals the son of the man who couldn't get the disciples to heal the son. And then finally, Jesus came. And this man said, "If you can do something, please do." And she said, "If you can." And he healed the boy of the demon that made him regularly at the point of suicide. And that's where the gospel starts. They were all amazed at his every deed. And it was very easy to celebrate Jesus and his power at work among them. It was very easy to be distracted by all those manifestations. But Jesus turned back and said, "Pay attention to what I'm telling you. The Son of Man is to be handed over to men." They still didn't want to grasp it. They didn't understand it, but they didn't really want to ask any questions because they were afraid of its implications. Jesus would come back to this over and over again to prepare them for the Passion. But even when it occurred, no matter how many times he said it, they weren't ready. No one thought that any of them could betray him. No one would have ever guessed that when they were making protestations that it would not be each of them, and that Peter would even lay down his life for the Lord, that they would abandon him. But they were too afraid to ask him questions. Pay attention. Son of Man is to be handed over. And if we're really going to live life to the full, Jesus says that not only do we have to receive that self-offering, as we heard in yesterday's gospel verse, Son of Man gave his life as a ransom for the many, as a ransom for our life. It's not just that we receive that, but that Jesus says to us, "Follow me." And if we're truly going to be his disciple, we have to learn from him and deny ourselves, pick up our cross every day and follow him. It's not just a path of suffering, it's a path of sacrificial love. That's the fitting fulfillment of the entirety of the Old Testament. And in today's first reading from Ecclesiastes, finishing up our three-day study every 2 years of this book, we punctuate it with the exclamation point of the first sentence renewed, O vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. We know that the word vanity comes from the Latin vanus, which means empty. Sometimes when we confess the sin of vanity, we confess more or less that we puff ourselves up, that it's one of the sort of derivatives of pride. But vanity is different than pride. We can be proud of something substantial. And it's the sin of pride when we begin to think that it's ours rather than a gift of God, and that we look at it outside of a relationship with the Creator. Vanity is something different. Vanity is when we're proud about something really fleeting that's not substantial. Our weight. Whether we look good in the mirror. Whether we have the right piece of clothing or jewelry or the latest, whatever. That's vain. We can be proud over the gifts that God has given us, and we wouldn't be vain if we were. But we are vain when we begin to think that things that won't pass through the eye of the needle really matter much. And what the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet, wants to argue is that all human life is basically vain. It's a very pessimistic frame. But the reason why it's part of sacred scripture, the reason why we say the word of the Lord after it's proclaimed, is because he's describing a life without God. But when life is living together with the Lord, and when our life begins to imitate what the Lord himself showed and called us to follow, that's when what would otherwise be vain becomes infinitely valuable. Today, at the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes, the author talks about youth and basically says, enjoy your youth because it's going to get bad. Then it goes through a whole list of things. The sun will be dark and the light, the moon, the stars. After the rain, all you're going to get are clouds, not sunny days. The guardians of the house, the bodyguards, the weaponized people are going to be trembling. The strong men are going to be bent over in fear. Those who look through windows are going to go blind. The doors to the street shut. The sound of the mill will stop. There won't be any birds chirping. You'll be fearing everything. Heights, perils in the street. The locust is going to grow sluggish because it's got so much food that it's devouring. The man will go to his lasting home, which is the grave. All the streets will be filled with mourners. And then images that we might not quite understand. The silver cord will be snapped. That means the spine. The golden bowl, which means the brain, will be broken. The pitcher, which means the heart, will be shattered at the spring. And finally, the dust will return to the earth as it once was. Not a very bright picture. But the author says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Get off to a right start. Be mindful of who created you. Live in relationship with him, so that when the dust returns to the earth from which it came and the life breath returns to God who gave it, it might live in God. There might be eternity. Otherwise, everything is vain. this type of wisdom to live together with the Lord. Because every day, not to mention just a whole life, that's lived apart from Him is a vain day. It doesn't amount to anything. But even a day filled with sufferings and sorrows, a day in which we're overwhelmed and it doesn't get off to a good start, a day can become infinitely valuable when that opens us up to the fact that the Creator and the Redeemer lives. That's why the responsorial psalm today implores us, or has us implore God, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. To number our days aright, that every day is a gift, that every day is a day of the Lord. To live that day the right way, that's how we grow in wisdom of heart. As the imitation of Christ teaches us. Chapter 24. Remember that today you may die and begin to live today as if it were your last day. Live it together with the Lord. Do what He asks. Recognize He's with you, helping you in every way as long as you open yourself up to embrace Him. That will help us to prioritize what really matters. Saying I love you to the people we love, saying sorry to the people that we've hurt. Not allowing our life to be taken from us, but freely laying it down for God and for others out of love, as a ransom for as many as we can, as we pondered on the feast of Our Lady of Ransom 2 days ago, Our Lady of Mercy. To number our days aright, God wants to help us. He wants to fill us with that great wisdom, so that we might not, like many, live vainly, but in fact, live as conscious Christians who truly pay attention. Today we've got models to help us to do this. Saints Cosmas and Damian numbered their days aright and lived every day out of love for God and for others. They were called the Anargyroi, the penniless ones, or the non-mercenaries. Because they were doctors who did everything for free at an age in which many doctors were charlatans. There weren't WebMD.com and the Mayo Clinic stuff online and so many other resources so that we can fact check what doctors are saying. There weren't even many doctors so that we could get a second or a third opinion. Many of the doctors were rip-off artists who would make prescriptions that were just one placebo after another if the people were lucky, rather than poisonous if they weren't. And then they would charge people for it all until, as we see with one of the women in the gospel, for example, that the doctors had basically stolen all her money through false treatments. And then she finally came to Jesus, who was the first Anagoras, who came and did everything without payment. So that's what St. Cosmas and Damian did. And they did it not just because they were good fellas. They did it as an evangelical opening. They did it out of charity. Because when people would then ask them why these incredibly competent doctors would be doing everything for free, they'd be able to say, because the one whom we serve said, you have received without payment, give. And he said that before he had sent us out two by two, as they had gone two by two. And through the care for the body, they would begin to experience the divine physician's care for their soul through these two great saintly doctors who, in being faithful to the Lord in every day and numbering each day aright, were faithful on the day in which they were tortured and killed in the worst of the 13 anti-Christian persecutions in 304. We also have another model today, the Blessed Mother, who teaches us true wisdom of heart, her contemplative heart, was one that sought to live every day with the Lord. It's always a mind-blowing reality whenever I see my nieces and nephews, and probably it's the same thing with you. When they hit about 13 or 14, and you see the ways that they still need to grow. So that was about the age which the Archangel Gabriel came to Mary. She was remembering her Creator in the days of her youth, such that when the Creator sent the Archangel Gabriel to her, she was ready to choose to continue to lay down her life in accordance with the Lord's words. She shows us a life that is the exact opposite of vain. Her soul magnified the Lord, and she shows us the path so that ours will as well in this world and forever. Teach us to number our days aright, so that we may gain wisdom of heart. Today the Lord does, and He enters us into the school of His self-giving love, which He proclaims in the Gospel here every time we enter into His Passion, Death, and Resurrection, the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. Let's give Him our full attention.